The Story of Haytavis from a Higher Perspective. Der Bengel ist Gesserit. The story of the Yom Tov of Haytavis took place in our own generation, but essentially is connected to all of the preceding generations of Chabad as well, up until the Alter Rebbe and even the Baal Shem Tov. Although the robbery of the Svarim began around Yud Shvat, the Rebbe was only officially notified about the theft of the Svarim around Shavuos time in 5745 Tovshin Mem Hei. However, months before, on Yud Aleph Nissan of that year, the Rebbe addressed an idea which, in retrospect, seemed to be very much connected to the Svarim saga. In the Farbringen, which turned out to be the last time the Rebbe Farbringed on Yud Aleph Nissan, the Rebbe began the second Sicha by posing a question. It is well known that one of the worst midas according to Torah, and especially Musar, is gaiva, haughtiness. If so, how is it possible that people gather here and participate in a Farbringen, which is being held in honor of one single person? The Rebbe continued that the answer should be self-understood, but nevertheless, he will specify it clearly. The honor in this regard is not of one single individual, but that of the entire movement which he represents. An unbroken chain of Chabad Chassidus spanning over the last 200 years, beginning with the Alter Rebbe, the one who is chosen to head the movement, is not just here to be in charge, but rather to serve the people of the movement. This is similar to the Yom Tov of Simchas Torah that I've explained. On the Yom Tov of Simchas Torah, the Torah wishes to dance, so we, the Yidden, must serve as its hands and feet. So too, with regards to the Chassidus Chabad, there must be an individual who serves as the unifying force and ensures productive activity amongst all members of the movement. The leader in our generation is the Friedrich Rebbe. But since the Friedrich Rebbe is on high, he needs someone to serve on his behalf here in this world and oversee all the activities of his movement. Thus, one individual was chosen to do that job. Who that one individual is of little importance. To better illustrate this point, the Rebbe told the following story. When we were children in Cheder, they would tell a story of a Rebbe who was very small in body but had a very prestigious position. When asked how is it befitting that a man so small serves a position of such magnitude, he answered, "True, I may be small, but the cheer is very big. Der Bengel ist Gross." The Rebbe explained, "The work and the Torah of the Friedrich Rebbe is great and must be carried on. The one who is actually filling the position is not of all that much significance." Therefore, concluded the Rebbe, it isn't an issue that we celebrate the birthday of one individual, for the main thing is the continuity of the work of Chabad Chassidus, something which is pertinent and very much of a concern to the entire movement as a whole. In a sense, it seemed as though the Rebbe was addressing this to forewarn an issue that would soon arise, namely that a Rebbe is not merely an individual person, but one who belongs to all Chassidim, as the Rebbezin famously stated during her deposition. Svarim missing. Now for a bit of history. As mentioned, the theft began around Yud Shvat time. The first one to notice that something was wrong was Rabbi Yitzchak Wilhelm, librarian of the Friedrich Rebbe's library, who immediately contacted Rabbi Chaim Baruch Halberstam to discuss the matter. It was decided that a telephone system would be installed in the library, sending a ring to WLCC office anytime the door of the library is opened. Unfortunately, the system didn't work because the next break-in happened, the phone line was busy transmitting the Rebbe's break-in hookup. It was then that the crew realized that the thief was someone who knew to come only during the Rebbe's Farbringen, when his entrance would go unnoticed. Rabbi Halberstam discussed the matter with the Rebbezin, who suggested that surveillance cameras be installed in the library. Indeed, a short while later, the results came in, and Rabbi Halberstam and Rabbi Wilhelm sat together to watch the recording. The thief had his face partially covered, but Rabbi Halberstam immediately recognized him and realized that the matter was far from simple. He quickly ran to the Rebbe and Rebbezin's home and shared the sad news with the Rebbezin. They had finally called the thief, and it was none other than the Rebbezin's own nephew. The issue goes public. Shortly thereafter, the Rebbe called a meeting with the members of Agudas Chassidei Chabad, most of whom were elderly Chassidim, inviting also to additional two younger Chassidim, Rabbi Avram Shemtov and Rabbi Yehuda Krinsky. The Rebbe spoke with the group about the recent events, stating clearly that all the Svarim, Ksavim, and the building of 770 belonged to Agudas Chassidei Chabad, and that he planned to discuss this issue in public at the upcoming Yud Beis Tammuz Farbringen. Bear in mind that in those years, the Rebbe's major weekday Farbringens were broadcast live via satellite around the world, meaning the Rebbe intended to bring the issue to the attention of the global audience. The Rebbe openly discussed the issue of the Svarim a total of five times, at the Yud Beis Tammuz Farbringen, at the Yechidus Klolis with guest on the 14th of Tammuz, and the Farbringen on 15th of Tammuz, and the Farbringen of Shabbos Parshas Balak, and for the last time on Shabbos Parshas Pinchas. The following are some partial quotes from the Rebbe's words regarding this matter, collected randomly from all of the above-mentioned Farbringens. To better understand, it is encouraged to read the Hanachas of these Sichas, as most of them have been published throughout the years. Live bombs. When the thief wished to sell his goods, he wanted to make as much money as possible, so he approached his buyers with a witty proposal. These firm are not just regular books. They belong to and were handled by great holy tzaddikim, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He hoped to fool the buyers into believing that purchasing these firm was a good idea, but in fact, the Rebbe explained, these firm are like live bombs. When one wants to send a bomb to someone else, he doesn't say clearly that it's a bomb. He tries to convince the receiver that it's a sweet apple, a desirable thing. Then, at any given moment, the bomb could explode. In a similar vein, the buyers were told that the Sfarim are holy and precious, something that they should wish to keep in their possession. The truth is, though, that whoever brings them into his home brings in a live bomb, and only time could tell when it will explode. Pointing at his holy eyes, the Rebbe said, I see it with my own eyes. I know that these farm are live bombs, and I therefore feel it my duty to warn everyone, don't keep them in your possession. Man of truth. Another point stressed by the Rebbe in the Sichas was the fact that the thief and his team wished to claim that the Friedrich Rebbe only wrote that this farm belonged to Agudas Chassidus Chabad as a tactic to help bring them out of war-torn Europe. In truth, however, he never really meant that they belonged to the community. In other words, there's a term that the Friedrich Rebbe was capable of saying one thing and meaning something else, chas v'shalom. The Rebbe decried this notion in the strongest possible terms, painfully protesting against the great chil Hashem that comes along with claiming such an idea. Hu b'chayim. A vital point discussed by the Rebbe during these sichas was on the theme of Hu b'chayim. The Friedrich Rebbe lives on. Hence, there is no room for discussion about Yerusha that the Sfarim should be distributed amongst his heirs. Basing his words on the Gemara statement, Ma Zare b'chayim afu b'chayim, the Rebbe articulated, you see a chassid walking in the street? This is hu b'chayim. So long as there are chassidim who study his Torah and fulfill his instructions, then he is very much alive. This is why the Friedrich Rebbe did not write a will regarding the Sfarim. By proceeding to Rabbeim, there were instances where the Sfarim and other possessions were divided amongst the children, as was the case by the Tzemach Tzedek. But by the Friedrich Rebbe, we did not see such a thing, because hu b'chayim. The Rebbe's very life. At the Farbringen of 15th of Tammuz, the Rebbe said, this issue does not concern only to me personally, but to every single Yid who is a chassid of the Friedrich Rebbe, no matter where he lives, be it here or in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, some of the Sfarim were actually brought to Eretz Yisrael and sold to dealers there in a most audacious manner. Selling Sfarim that belong to the Friedrich Rebbe is a dangerous act. The seller is actually tearing away a part of the Friedrich Rebbe's very life, then and now. When addressing the issue of the Sfarim on Parshas Pinchas, the Rebbe mentioned that by Ashgacha Pratis, the theft began around Yud Shvat, the day of the Friedrich Rebbe's Histalkus, and the story broke around Yud Beis Tammuz, the Yom Huledes and Chag HaGeulah. For one who stole the Sfarim, said the Rebbe, the day of his Histalkus is indeed timely. He thinks that the Friedrich Rebbe passed away 35 years ago and is no longer with us anymore. But a Yid who is a believer knows that such thought is nonsense. Monetary compensation. The following incident relayed by the Rebbe helps shed light on the entire episode of the Sfarim and how the Rebbe perceived it not merely as a dispute over a valuable library, but as a much deeper issue. Some of the Chassidim had suggested that instead of going through the hassle of retrieving the Sfarim rightfully, perhaps it would be better to compensate the thief with the money he had wanted and save the Sfarim that way. The Rebbe strongly criticized this idea publicly, questioning in disbelief how a Frumer Yid could possibly think of such an idea. Clearly then, the Rebbe's primary concern with regard to the Sfarim saga was not monetary loss. Plainly put, the opposite side refused to admit that the Lubavitcher movement continues after the Friedrich Rebbe's Histalkus. They wished to put the Rebbe's Nesius and the whole of Dor HaShvi in question, Chas V'Shalom. In fact, during a yechidus with the members of Aguch a few months later, the Rebbe clearly stated that the fight is not only over Sfarim, but rather over the Benkel, as we'll soon explain. The Missing Niggun. On 15th of Tammuz, the Rebbe turned from the oil relatively early, davened mincha, and came down to Farbring just as Shkia set in. The Rebbe began by saying that he wished to Farbring in honor of 15th of Tammuz, and begin the Farbringen by reciting the Friedrich Rebbe's Gula Maimorim, which were printed in time for Yud Beis Tammuz this year. As is customary, the Rebbe said, we'll preface the words of Chassidus with a Nigun, but since this is a matter which concerns not only our generation, but all future generations as well, we will sing Nigunim from the Rebbeim, beginning with the Baal Shem Tov. It was that moment that something dramatic took place. Rabbi Yochanan started a Nigun from each of the Rebbeim, and the crowd sang them all together. But when he finished the Beini from the Friedrich Rebbe and began to sing the Rebbe's Nigun of Atav Echartanu, the Rebbe immediately began with the Maimer Kein Sicha, almost stopping him abruptly, preferring that his own Nigun not be sung.
New Era. During the time period that the Rebbe was speaking about the Svarim so openly, Chassidim observed that to an extent a new era had begun in Chabad. The Rebbe implemented some drastic changes in conduct. On the one hand, the Rebbe had stopped some of the most basic customs, but on the other hand, he added some new major initiatives, perhaps in connection with the trial over the Svarim. The Rebbe ceased to recite Maimorim in their usual tune. After Tishrei 5746 Tavshim Mem Vav, all the Maimorim were Ke'ein Sicha. This is with the exception of two occasions in 5749 Tavshim Mem Tes. On the other hand, the Rebbe began to frequently be Magia Maimorim in honor of Yom Tovim, something that came completely from the Rebbe himself. Simcha. Beginning on Rosh Hashanah, the Rebbe encouraged Chassidim to be besimcha in an unprecedented manner. At the Rosh Hashanah of Abrengin, which generally bore a more solemn atmosphere, the Rebbe instructed the crowd to sing a Simchas Torah Nigun, and the Rebbe stood up at his place and clapped along in ecstasy. This was the first time in many long years that the Rebbe stood up during a Fabringin, and this repeated itself several times over the following months. Didan Notzach. On Shabbos Parshas Vayetze, Yud Kislev, the Rebbe spoke again about Simcha, and that it carries with it the power to do away with all undesirable issues we encounter. That night, the Chassidim danced away. It was on that occasion that the words Didan Notzach were quoted to an old Chabad Nigun by Rabbi Beryl Lazar, later to become Russia's chief rabbi, which became an instant hit. As a matter of fact, at the Farbringen of Yitzchak 5746, Tavshim Mem Vav, the crowd sang this Nigun vigorously, and the Rebbe actually sang the words along with them in an undertone. This is visible on the video recording of the Farbringen. We will be victorious. During that same Farbringen of Shabbos Parshas Vayetze, Rashag approached the Rebbe and suggested perhaps settling for a compromise with the opposite side. The Rebbe became very serious and answered loudly, moving his holy hands all the while. It's not a fight against me. It's a fight against the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe. The Rebbe specified all the Rebbeim. Rashag told the Rebbe that he really wishes to abstain from testifying, and the Rebbe replied, I will go testify and you will go testify. We will see this matter through until the end, and we will be victorious. Those standing nearby heard the Rebbe's stern words, and everyone around saw the Rebbe speaking passionately, moving his hands fiercely along. Debinkel. On the morning of the 13th of Kislev, 5746 Tavshim Mem Vav, a few days before the actual trial began, the Rebbe summoned the members of Aguch for a chiddush in his room. Some of the members of the delegation still hoped for the possibility that a compromise would be made and the matter would not have to go to court. The Rebbe responded very sharply and totally rejected the idea. The Bachurim stood outside and were able to hear the Rebbe's passionate response, although they could not make out the exact words. Later on, it was told that the Rebbe had said, did you say Tehillim for this issue? Did you fast? You speak of settling for a compromise. They want the Benkel. Later that day, the court ruled that the Rebbe does not have to testify, and all sensed the victory had already begun. It was a step in the right direction towards a complete Didan Notzach. Frequent visits to the Eil. The trial began in Yutes Kislev. The Rebbe went to the Eil each and every day while the trial endured, from Sunday to Thursday, except Rosh Chodesh. It's interesting to note that with him during these visits, the Rebbe brought along many old duchis, reports written by Chassidim of Chabad activities worldwide, some of which had been written even in the 5730s Tavshin Lamets.
Not active? A very important subject mentioned by the Rebbe quite a few times regarding the Svarim episode was the claim raised by the opposing side that Chabad is not active. Although the Rebbe proved time and again how baseless the accusation really was, the Rebbe still called on Chassidim to intensify their efforts in Hafatzas HaMelyonos in unprecedented measures. It was during this time period that the Rebbe spoke fervently about establishing Chabad houses in all corners of the globe. In addition, the Rebbe spoke a lot about printing Chassidus. At the Farbringen of Shabbos Chanukah, the Rebbe made mention of the fact that some of the Maimorim that had recently been printed were part of a hidden collection of the Rebbeim's writing, which were never disclosed to anyone.
That being said, how can we take the tremendous responsibility of publishing such treasures? Here, the Rebbe mentioned the famous mashal from the Alter Rebbe about grinding the precious stone in the king's crown in hope of saving his only child. After stressing the importance that everyone must learn these words of Chassidus, the Rebbe concluded, "But even if people won't learn from them, I am not intimidated. I will continue printing more and more in the spirit of Kasher Yanu Eisei Kein Yirbev Chein Yifritz." These words from the Rebbe were almost a clear indication that a kidruk had formulated on high after the Rebbe had accomplished an unparalleled breakthrough in the decimation of Chassidus. That night, the Rebbe held a surprise for Rabbeinu where he explicitly addressed the claim raised against Chassidi Chabad that they were not active, explaining that although this claim is ridiculous, nevertheless will take into indication to even do more than what we did till now. The Rebbe also spoke at great length about the Kitzrug on the Alter Rebbe before Yutes Kislev, continuing the explanation at an additional surprise Farbringen the following night. It's a spiritual matter. Later that winter, towards the end of Adar Aleph, the Rebbe began davening Shacharis on the Shabbos in the small Zal upstairs because the Rebbe was walking with great difficulty. Still, the Rebbe came down for the regular Shabbos Mevorchen Farbringen and said a very long and complicated Hadron on Rambam. During the following week, Hamnissim Mendel asked the Rebbe, "Wie fühlt der Rebbe? How was the Rebbe feeling?" To which the Rebbe responded, "Es ist mehr geistisch wie physisch. It is more of a spiritual issue than a physical one." The joy and celebration in Lubavitch that met the verdict on Hay Tavis is well known and beyond the scope of this article. We will suffice with mentioning that the Rebbe, in his Sicha on Hay Tavis after Mincha, made reference to the Kitruk raised on the Alter Rebbe and drew a lesson regarding the story of the Sfarim as well. Since the claim against us was that we are not sufficiently active and don't use the Sfarim and Ketzavim of the Chassidus in the proper manner, we must take this as an indication to intensify our efforts in Afat Samayanus. The Rebbe also elaborated on the Pasuk Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Aviyam from that day's Chitas. Chassidim understood that the Rebbe's spirit had been revived, so to speak, and we had finally emerged victorious. The next day on the 6th of Tevis, the Rebbe spoke again, mentioned that Pasuk. It was then that the Rebbe declared that this time as an Eis Ratzin and encouraged everyone to write in requests for brachis and whatever they needed. If it wasn't clear enough yet, the Rebbe indicated unambiguously that indeed the Sfarim Saga was a heavenly ordeal and the positive ending marked a true Yom Tov. Hay Tavis. From all the above, we can discern that the story of Hay Tavis was far from a simple battle over a valuable library, but a real spiritual issue which the Rebbe perceived as very serious. The way the Rebbe spoke about the issue with such passion and his refusal to settle for any compromise, as well as the re-emphasis of Chabad activity the Rebbe prompted in its wake, all attest to that. In conclusion, let us pray that the Sfarim and Ksavim that Rabbeinu Sayyidi, which still remain in captivity in Russia, will finally return to their proper home, and may their Geula bring about the final Geula Amitzvah Shlema, Tekef Umiyad Mamish.